Hi there. My name is Rory Clark. I'm the pastor of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. And I have a question for you. What do you know about God? These 10-minute lessons will introduce you to God and will make you aware of some of his attributes. To help you remember the Lord's attributes, we'll use an encoding device called the Creator Clock so that you can recognize a few of the things that are unique and special about your creator. TikTok, what time is it on the creator clock? It is 7 o'clock. God is willing. So that's what this lesson's all about. God's will. And God is willing. Now, I have to admit that one of my least favorite things to do in this life is to talk to pious Christians. These are the people who sport a phony pretense toward religious devotion. And they're really easy to spot. They smile a lot, and they always have a ready religious comment. For example, you say, "Sure is hot today," and they'll say, "Amen, brother." And they always have that real sincere look on their face when they say it, "Amen, brother." Well, one of my least favorite things to hear a pious Christian say is, "God willing." The conversation goes something like this: "Will you be taking a family vacation this year?" And the answer is, "God willing, brother." And it's always irritating to me. It frosts me because, you know, are you really thinking that God's not willing for you to take a vacation? Are you really thinking that there's a doubt about what God's will is in the matter of you having a little fun, a little rest and relaxation? God is willing. What does that mean? It means that God has will. It means that God makes choices. It means that God has predispositions, and it's the same thing it means when we say it. We have will. What does that mean? That we make choices, that we have predispositions. Well, many people ask themselves, how can I know God's will for my life? I remember when I was a young adult, God was always my concern, and God's will was always a part of it. Every time I made a major decision in my life, I wanted to know, how can I know God's will for my life? How can I know if this decision is consistent with God's will for my life? Well, I think that thinking was a little bit too big in the matter of my little tiny decisions, but I think it's a great question to ask. How can we know God's will for our lives? But when we ask that question, we have to realize that God's will is knowable, and that God tells us clearly what his will is, and he tells us that in the Bible. So if you don't study the Bible, it's almost impossible to know what God's will is. Here's an example. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for those of you in union with Christ Jesus." So those of you who are believers in Christ, who are in union with Christ Jesus, God's will for you is that in everything you give thanks. Well, what exactly does that mean? God's will is that you are grateful for everything that happens in your life. Are you? Are you grateful for the hard times? Are you grateful during those times when someone you love dies? Are you grateful for the time that you had with them instead of regretting the time that you won't have with them in the future? Quite often in the Bible, God's will is expressed in a series of do's and do nots, do and don't statements. Here's an example. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. "I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." God is telling us through the Apostle Paul, do walk by the Spirit, don't carry out the desires of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, a list of the don'ts. Here's what it says. "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are," here are the don'ts, "immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have in the past forewarned you, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, that's talking about unbelievers, not believers, but believers can do any of those things too. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, here's a list of the things to do. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such virtues, there is no law. So God tells you things to do too, but you notice the fruit of the Spirit is not the fruit of you. So what he's really saying is reflect the fruit of the Spirit. So God expresses his will by telling us the things to do, and those are the good things, the things that are helpful to us, and he tells us the things to avoid, the don'ts, which are the things that can hurt us. It's God's will that you be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this, "The Lord Jesus Christ is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of, but he's patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance," a change of mind about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not God's will that any should perish. Our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is perfect. His will is perfect, and he wants us to follow him. And following him means aligning our will with his will. It's when we say, "I will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because you say it's your will that I do." Here's Mark chapter 3, verses 28 to 35. It says, "Truly I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin." In other words, if you don't follow the Holy Spirit's instruction to believe in Christ, that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And while all your sins are forgiven, that sin, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which is rejection of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, is not forgiven. Mark chapter 3, verse 30, "Because they were saying he has an unclean spirit." Then the Lord's mother and his brothers arrived, standing outside. They sent word to him and called to him. Jesus was preaching at the time. And Mark 3:32, "A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Behold, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you.'" Mark 3:33, "Answering them, the Lord Jesus Christ said, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' Mark 3:34, looking around at those who were sitting around him, he said, 'Behold, my mother and my brothers.'" Mark 3:35, "For whoever does the will of God the Father, he is my mother and my brother and my sister." So the Lord Jesus Christ was clear what his mission was on earth, and his mission was to seek and save the lost. And he respected those who did the will of God the Father, just like he was doing it. Well, the Lord wants us to know his will, and he wants us to align our will with his. And as we do, we will experience perfection, because obeying God is perfection. Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in the vineyard.'" This is the Lord talking. Matthew 21, 29, "And the son answered, 'I will not.' But afterward he regretted it, and he went to the vineyard." Matthew 21, 30, "The man came to the second son and said the same thing. And the second son answered, 'I will, sir.' But then he did not go." Matthew 21, 31, "Which of the two sons then did the will of his father?" And they said, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you." Matthew 21, 32, "For John the Baptist came to you in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did believe him. And you, seeing this, didn't even feel remorse afterwards so as to believe John." What a great story. You know, the son who rejected going to the field, but then finally had a bout of conscience and went to the field, he's the one who did the will of the Father. Because what was the will of the Father? Go to the vineyard. And the one who said, "Yeah, I'll go to the vineyard," and didn't go, he wasn't doing the will of the Father. And the Lord was telling the Pharisees, "You're doing what the second son did. You're ignoring the salvation message. You're not doing You're pretending like you really want to do it, but you aren't doing it at all. You know, it's God's will that we know and follow His will as believers in Christ so that we can show the world how to act. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 says, "For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men." However, as believers in Christ, we sin. We miss the mark of God's plan for us. We act independently from God. Often our will is different than His. And we have been granted the privilege of acting independently from Him. James chapter 4, verse 17 says this, "Therefore, the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." When we don't do the will of God, we sin. Well, it's best to do the will of God. It's best to know that God has will, to know what that will is, the Bible expresses it, and then for us to follow. And when we do, it'll always work out for us. And when we don't, it'll never work out for us. Tick-tock, what time is it on the Creator clock? It is 7 o'clock. God is willing. Find out what God's will is and do it, and you'll have a great life. Well, if you like these short lessons, visit our website at www.barahministries.com. That's www.barahministries.com. We have two different one-hour lessons per week to edify your spiritual life. If you like these lessons, share them with your friends. If your friends like the lessons, get some new friends. And if you like the lessons, feel free to help us financially. That was just a little joke. feel free to help us financially so that we can keep providing these lessons free of charge to people all over the world. Thanks very much to those who have helped us with the finances, and thanks very much for those who watch. And when you give, please do it because you've been given to, not because you have to. Rather, because you want to. Keep on getting to know God. I'm Pastor Rory Clark.